Good morning, everyone. Have you ever had a mentor? In the business world, sometimes when you take a job, it often goes with being in a larger organization. A mentor is assigned to you as a new employee. A mentor is there to offer advice, provide support, answer questions, kind of guide you into this new corporation and your new job. A good mentor will share with you both their successes and their failures. Sometimes learning from someone's failures is as valuable a lesson as learning from their successes. Well, maybe you've never had an official mentor, but you've surely had a good friend. One who is willing to share with you the wisdom they've learned in life and want to share with you to make your journey through life a little bit better. So whether you call them a mentor or a good friend, they help you navigate life's challenges. The Bible presents the lives of people to us that we might learn from them. Romans 15, verse 4 says, "For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope." What that means to me is that as you read stories in the Old Testament, and for that matter, New Testament as well, I especially enjoy reading biographical episodes or even the full lives of people as they stretch over many years. But when I get to the end of the story, the end of the chapter, the end of the life, what I like to do is to stop and ask myself, what would this person say to me? I think when you ask yourself after reading through someone's life story in the Scriptures, to ask yourself, what would this person say to me? It helps drive into your life the lessons that probably God wants you to learn and why he put that person's story in the Bible in the first place. So as you think about that, who would you like to have as a mentor? Well, I'm sure that everybody comes up with, well, I'd love Jesus to be my mentor. And that's good. Maybe some would say, well, if it's not going to be Jesus, it's going to be Paul. Well, in this lesson, I want us to consider what it would be like to have Moses as our mentor. And what that means is, in this lesson, we'll kind of use our imagination and place ourselves in a conversation with Moses. He'll speak directly to us and mentor us regarding how to walk with God. Ready? All right, let's imagine ourselves eagerly waiting for our time for a little mentorship from Moses. There's so much to admire about his life. We wonder, what will he share with us? Will it be about the faith his mother demonstrated when she placed him in the basket in the Nile River to save his life when he was just a baby? Will we learn about his burning bush encounter with God, or the parting of the Red Sea, or what it was like when he received the Ten Commandments on the top of the mountain? Perhaps he will give us leadership insights, such as how he managed to lead 2 million constantly complaining people. There are so many things that Moses could say to us, so many things that he could teach us. We wonder just what he will say. So finally, we're with Moses. Imagine that. Moses is here with us. And maybe after a few minutes of small talk, Moses looks directly at us and says, "My advice to you is that you must learn to live in the faith zone, not the safe zone." Moses pauses to let the importance of that statement sink in. Finally, he says, "Each person's life is a life story written in risks. The ones that one takes and the ones that one avoids. Look at my life. Do you think you would know my story if I hadn't stepped out of the safe zone? Would I even be talking to you right now if I hadn't learned how to move in and live in the faith zone? Quite a statement. A man who lived for 120 years, 40 years in the land of Egypt, 40 years in the land of Midian, and 40 years wandering, leading the children of Israel in the wilderness. What does a man say? He says, you need to learn to live in the faith zone. Moses goes on to say to us, the greatest moment in my walk with God came at the burning bush. The decision I made there that day wrote the next 40 years of my life story. It's a decision that brought daily encounters with the living God. But in that moment, it was not easy to make that decision. Moses goes on to describe three things that he needed to overcome to move from the safe zone and into the faith zone. So first, to live in the faith, that's his advice, to live in the faith zone. But here's his first point. I needed to overcome the experiences of my past. Moses says to us, I was born in a time of great threat and uncertainty for my people Israel. But after my mother put me into God's hands by placing me in that basket and putting me into that river, God delivered me, and I was taken in by Pharaoh's daughter. I grew up in a safe zone, the palace of the king of Egypt. I didn't lack anything. Stephen wrote in Acts chapter 7, verse 22, and Moses was instructed in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and he was mighty in his words and deeds. Clearly, in that safe zone, Moses made a name for himself and earned the respect of the Egyptians. The historian Josephus wrote that Moses led the Egyptian army against the invading Ethiopian army and won a decisive victory through great cunning. Moses tells us that he thrived during his years in Pharaoh's house. But then he continues, I have made many mistakes in my life by not seeking God's will in everything I did. Let me tell you about one of my worst mistakes. When I was 40, I took a risk based on my own wisdom, not on God's wisdom. I was becoming overconfident in my own wisdom and abilities, and I decided that I needed to start the events that would bring about the deliverance of my people from Egyptian slavery. You could say I left the safe zone, but I tried to enter my zone, something big in my own life for my own people, but it was based on my wisdom, not God's wisdom, and it cost a man his life. I killed an Egyptian while defending a fellow Hebrew. In Acts chapter 7, verses 23 through 25, we read, when he was 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brothers, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them being wronged, he defended the oppressed man and avenged him by striking down the Egyptian. He supposed that his brothers would understand that God was giving them salvation by his hand, but they did not understand. Moses tells us, in that moment, I believed that God would use me to give salvation to the enslaved people of Israel. I knew God's will, that one day they would be delivered from the Egyptian slavery. But I did not go beyond just learning his will to ask, what was God's way and what was God's timing. So I began to carry out my plan according to my way and my schedule. And what was the result of my own human effort? Again, from Acts chapter 7, 23 through 25, condensing it a little bit. And it came into his heart to visit his brothers. And after killing the Egyptian, he supposed that his brothers would understand. Moses pauses and he says, "When I look back on that day, I realized that I was impatient with God and I wanted to jumpstart the will of God. I saw the abuse of a Hebrew by an Egyptian and I thought, deliverance begins today with the death of this Egyptian." Exodus 2 verse 12 says, "He looked this way and that, and seeing no one, he struck down the Egyptian and hid him in the sand." With deep sorrow, Moses tells us that at no point in time did God instruct him to kill that Egyptian. Moses says to us that instead of looking this way and that way to see if anybody was coming, what I should have done is looked up to God and say, "God, is this your will? Is this your way? Is this your time?" Pharaoh wanted to kill me for this murder, and I had to flee everything I'd ever known. Moses says to us, "When I tried on my own wisdom, I failed. But when I trusted, he succeeded." For the next 40 years of exile in the land of Midian, I tried to forget my life in Egypt. I convinced myself that Egypt was not the place for me. Second point, I needed to overcome the comforts of my present. You know, it's a sad day when a person becomes absolutely satisfied with the life he is living, the thoughts he is thinking, and the deeds that he is doing. When there forever ceases to be a desire to do something greater for God. Moses says to us, "After I left Egypt, I spent the next 40 years in the land of Midian tending sheep. I grew accustomed to life there. The land of Midian became another safe zone for me. Jethro took me in and made me a part of his family. I took one of Jethro's daughters as my wife, and we had a son. I had a secure place in the family business. Jethro only had daughters. He had no sons, and I became the heir apparent to the family business. Why would I ever want to leave all that? I had forged a new life for myself, and while it wasn't in a palace, it still was comfortable. I had left Egypt behind forever and made a complete transition into the land of Midian. Or at least, that's what I thought. In order to move into the faith zone, I had to overcome the insecurity of my future. The day that God called me from the burning bush seemed to be just like the last 14,600 days. If you multiply 40 times 365, it's 40 years, it's 14,600 days. God often calls people to do extraordinary things on ordinary days. Tomorrow, you may be driving to work or facing a classroom full of students or lifting a baby out of the crib while another little one clings to your leg. You may be climbing your Mount Horeb for the 14,600th time when God may reveal something to you, something great in his heart, something that will impact the rest of your life. God said to me, come, I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Exodus 3, verse 10. You know, there are a lot of ironic things about God choosing me, Moses, to lead the people out of Egypt. It's ironic to choose a man who's wanted for murder in Egypt to lead the Hebrews to freedom from Egypt. It's ironic to choose an 80-year-old man for this great work. It's ironic that when God told me to take your sandals off your feet for the place on which you are standing is holy ground, he told me to take my sandals off so that he could send me to Egypt, a journey which would require me to put my sandals back on. When God called me through the burning bush and told me to leave my comfortable life and go back to Egypt to accomplish this great mission, I felt totally unqualified to lead that mission. I was insecure about myself and my future. And as a result, I had a lot of questions and a lot of doubts. I said to God, who am I that I should go? Exodus 3, verse 11. What shall I say to them? Exodus 3, 13. But suppose they do not believe me? Exodus 4, verse 1. And finally, in Exodus 4, verse 10, I said, but I'm slow of speech. Every time I raised an objection to God's call, God answered it thoroughly. But I was still afraid. And finally, I said to God, oh, Lord, please send someone else to do it. Exodus 4:13. Fortunately for me, God would not take no for an answer. And though I was still afraid, I did the only thing that helps when we are uncertain about our futures. I trusted God, the one who knows our future in every detail. I agreed to answer God's call, leave my comfort zone and return to Egypt. And as a result, God freed the children of Israel. Well, we can tell that our time with Moses is coming to an end, but he wants to give us a few more principles. He says, we do not naturally leave safe zones. I didn't want to leave Egypt. It was all I knew. Yet if I hadn't, I would not have found Zipporah, who became my wife, and I never would have experienced the burning bush. Then I didn't want to leave Midian. But if I hadn't left the land, I never would have seen God part the Red Sea or deliver his people. I never would have talked to God face to face. Just because you don't want to do something doesn't mean you shouldn't go ahead and do it. Growth begins when we leave safe zones. For 40 years, I benefited from everything Egypt had to offer. But only after I left Egypt for the first time did I begin to learn what was really important. It took another 40 years in the land of Midian to discover how God intended to use me. By then, 80 years, I had been broken and remade by God. I had learned humility. You know, you can't stay the same and learn at the same time. If you want to grow, often you need to go. Safe zones rob us of our greatest moments and memories. Many people are so afraid of risk that they spend their entire lives in Egypt, the land of not enough. A few are willing to get out of their safe zone, and as a result, they enter the land of Midian, the land of just enough. But God wants more for you. He wants you to leave the land of Midian and enter the promised land, the land of more than enough. But the journey to the promised land will not be a straight line. You may end up wandering while God prepares you, but stick with it. It will be worth it. It was by faith that I left my comfort zone, and that is what is required of you if you want to walk with God. At some point, you will look back over your life, and you will look back at the risks that you didn't take, and many of you will be disappointed. You'll be more disappointed at the risks you didn't take than the risks you took for God. So defeat tomorrow's regret by moving forward and getting into the faith zone today. And his final words of encouragement to us is this: the faith zone is defined by God, not our own wishes. Moses says, "Let me tell you of another failure in my life, one that cost me the blessing of crossing over into the promised land. One day when we needed water, God told me very clearly to speak to the rock that it might bring forth water," Numbers chapter 20, verses 6 through 8. "But in a moment of uncontrolled anger toward the people, I struck the rock, not once, but twice," Numbers chapter 20, verse 11. "In that moment, I left the faith zone. God said to me, 'Because you did not believe in me to uphold me as holy in the eyes of the people of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land I have given them.'" Numbers chapter 20, verse 12. Think about it. "Because I did not do exactly what he said, I was guilty of unbelief. Because I disobeyed him, I failed to uphold him as holy in the eyes of the people. Because I struck the rock instead of speaking to it, I was not allowed to go in with the people into the promised land." What a disappointment. And even though I heard what God said the first time, I still wanted to go into that promised land. Near the end of the years of wandering in the wilderness, I asked God to let me go over into the land, Deuteronomy chapter 3, verses 25 through 27. I said to God, "Please let me go over and see the good land beyond the Jordan, that good hill country in Lebanon." But the Lord was angry with me because of you and would not listen to me. And the Lord said to me, "Enough from you. Do not speak to me of this matter again. Go up to the top of Pisgah and lift your eyes up westward and northward and southward and eastward and look at it with your eyes, for you shall not go over this Jordan." I learned in that moment that God means what he says and that his holiness must always be upheld privately and publicly, and as a leader before the people, always held up. I learned that I could be forgiven of a great sin, yet I still must suffer the consequences of my sin. God is holy. What we do in response to God's word reflects on God's holiness before his people. This respect for God and his word is required to live in the faith zone. Then Moses prays for us. "Lord God, the God of my fathers, give my friends a healthy discontent. Draw them out of the safe zone so that they may live every day in the faith zone. Make them wholly dependent on you so that they can do things greater than themselves. In the name of the Messiah, amen." Moses' prayer is little more than a whisper, but it has incredible power in it. For a moment, all we can think about is we've talked with the man who spoke to God face to face, and he's told us the secret to living, to walking with God. As soon as Moses finishes speaking, he's gone. So, let me ask you, where have you been living? Is it in the safe zone or is it in the faith zone? Is it time for you to flee your Egypt to learn in the land of Midian? Is today that ordinary day that you hear God calling you to do his will? Are you ready to let God define the faith zone you should live in? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Are you willing to stop living in the safety of your old life and begin living in the faith zone? This will require repentance from your sins. Is this the day you see a burning bush that calls you to investigate, to see what's going on? Is this the day God has spoken to you? He has not told you to take off your sandals, but he has told you to wash away your sins. He has called you to his holy ground. He's asking you to live out the plan that he has for your life. If there's anyone here with any need that we can help you with, won't you come forward as we stand and sing this song of invitation?